Jackson would be crucial in this plan. He was to come in on the enemy's flank, and Lee hoped that the Valley Army of Stonewall Jackson would play a key role once the fighting began in the battles that came to be called the 7 Days. Those battles began on June 25th, when Lee repulsed a strong Union reconnaissance. Not a major battle that day, but it's really the opening of the 7 Days battles. There are really 6 days of battles, and really only 5 significant battles, but it's called the 7 Days, so there we are. It's the 7 Days. After June 25th, Lee always held the initiative. And the first significant battle came on June 26th at Mechanicsville, called Beaver Dam Creek by the Federals in many of their accounts. Now at Mechanicsville, Jackson was to come in on the Federal flank and fight in concert with several other Confederate divisions. But Jackson never showed up. The hours ticked by. The morning went by. Noon came and went. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Still no Jackson, and the other Confederates on the ground, especially A.P. Hill, who commanded the biggest division in Lee's army, simply couldn't restrain himself anymore, and he attacked without Jackson there. The attacks were quite easily repulsed by the Federals at Mechanicsville. After the fighting, Fitzjohn Porter simply withdrew to another position at a place called Gaines's Mill. And there, the second and by far the biggest battle of the 7 days took place, the Battle of Gaines's Mill on June 27, 1862. Once again, Jackson was slow to advance. He eventually got in position, and by the afternoon, Lee had his army in place, and he launched the largest set of Confederate assaults of the entire war. More than 50,000 Confederates participated in the attacks at Gaines's Mill on the afternoon of June 22nd. Very late in the day, on the Union left flank, near a house called the Watt House, the Confederates finally achieved a breakthrough. Texas troops, commanded by John Bell Hood, playing a conspicuous role and beginning their record as the most famous and really the most effective brigade in the Army of Northern Virginia. Fitzjohn Porter driven back about dusk, but the Confederates not in a position to follow up this victory. Their breakthrough came too late. Fitzjohn Porter very effectively withdrew and managed to get his corps, his third of the army roughly, back across the Chickahominy River without further damage. Gaines's Mill, a very large battle, but due largely to ineffective staff work and failure of coordination, the Confederate attacks had gotten started late, and the Confederate troops had not been in a position to deliver a more decisive blow against the Federals. Jackson's behavior has most often been his poor behavior, and it was poor again at Gaines's Mill, has been attributed to his sheer exhaustion. He'd been up for most of the preceding several days, and I think there's no doubt he was exhausted. Others were exhausted as well. John Bankhead Magruder got 3 hours of sleep over a 3-day period during the 7 days, and I think men, soldiers or generals, it doesn't make any difference, who've been up that long for a protracted period of time. Magruder was in his 50s, Jackson in his late 30s, but their performances are bound to suffer. You simply can't focus as effectively if you haven't been getting very much sleep. So I think it's probably true that Jackson was exhausted, but his exhaustion, the other soldiers' exhaustion and poor staff work all had helped contribute to Lee's failure to achieve more while McClellan's army was divided. Well, over the next 4 days, McClellan withdrew southward across the peninsula. He changed his base from the York River to the James River. He knew he had powerful federal naval forces on the James River. He would be safe down there, so he withdraws his enormous army southward. And Lee tries over the next 4 days to deliver a heavy blow against the retreating Federals. There was skirmishing on June 28th, not a major battle. But then on the 29th, the Battle of Savage Station, and on the 30th, the Battle of Fraser's Farm or Glendale, saw Lee's army fumbling to get into a position to hit the Federals effectively and failing in both instances. Magruder had a very bad day at Savage's Station, and Lee essentially wrote him off as a useful subordinate. At Glendale, there were heavy Confederate attacks. Time and again, they attacked, but the attacks again were not delivered in concert. And McClellan's army held off the Confederates and retreated finally to a very strong position at Malvern Hill.